Greetings, this is Dan White with the media book, The End Time Church, chapter 74, The Pharisees, Moses' Seat, and the Hot Seat. What does it mean to sit on Moses' seat? Matthew 23 from the World English Bible, then Yeshua spoke to the multitudes and to his disciples, saying, "The scribes and the Pharisees sat on Moses' seat," end quote. Young's literal translation and the literal translation of the Holy Bible also say sat there. King James says sit in Moses' seat. Most Christian messianic feast keepers believe that God gave the Pharisees authority to change the feasts. They believe that God approves the Pharisees replacing what he said in the Bible with what they said out of the Bible. And this is one of the linchpins of their logic. The Pharisees sit on Moses' seat. Just as the Pharisees hold that the Talmud and Mishnah are divinely inspired, these Christians say that the Pharisee calendar is divinely inspired. And you can't question the Pharisee calendar because God inspired it through those guys. After all, they sit on Moses' seat. Now, to sit on Moses' seat does sound impressive. But if that statement gives the Pharisees authority to change God's law, then why did Yeshua go on to say this? Verse 3 of Matthew 23, "All things therefore whatever they," the Pharisees, "tell you to observe and do, but don't do their works, for they say and don't do," end quote. So when the Pharisees sat on Moses' seat, they said something, but did not do what they said. What is it that the Pharisees don't do? John 7:19, Christ said, "Didn't Moses give you the law? And yet none of you keeps the law. Why do you seek to kill me?" End quote. So the Pharisees don't keep the law. The law was what they said, but did not do. Stephen affirmed that. Acts 7, Stephen said to the Jewish rulers, "You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit. As your fathers did, so you do. Which of the prophets didn't your fathers persecute? They killed those who foretold the coming of the righteous one, of whom you have now become betrayers and murderers. You received the law as it was ordained by angels and did not keep it," end quote. So the Pharisees and the Jews received the law, but did not keep it. They said it, but did not do it. What they did do was to kill Yeshua and Stephen. Which brings up a critical question. Why would God use people to set his feasts, who killed his prophets, killed his Christians, and killed his only begotten son? The Pharisees and Jews delivered Yeshua to Rome to be executed. So both Jews and Gentiles are guilty of the greatest crime in the history of the world, done at a feast time. Does it seem sensible that God the Father would use people who helped kill his only begotten son at a feast time to set his feasts? Does that seem sensible? No, it doesn't seem plausible that God would use Rome as headquarters for his people. And it doesn't seem sensible that God would use the Pharisees of all people to set his holy days. But what about Moses' seat? After Yeshua said that the Pharisees sat on Moses' seat, then he put them on the hot seat. Matthew 23, for they bind heavy burdens that are grievous to be borne, Christ said, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not lift a finger to help them. But all their works they do to be seen by men, they make their phylacteries broad, enlarge the fringes of their garments, and love the place of honor at feasts, the best seats in the synagogues, the salutations in the marketplaces, and to be called Rabbi, Rabbi by men. But don't you be called Rabbi, for one is your teacher, the Messiah, and all of you are brothers. End quote. So Christ said not to call anyone Rabbi. But the Pharisees are thought to have God's authority only because they are rabbis. Bit of a conflict there. If God does not recognize the Pharisees as rabbis, then does he recognize what they do as rabbis? Ironically, the passage that is most often used to say the Pharisees have divine authority is this New Testament passage that most condemns the Pharisees. Going on in Matthew 23, Christ said, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! You devour widows' houses, and as a pretense, you make long prayers. Therefore, you will receive greater condemnation." Christ goes on, "But woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! Because you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for you don't enter in yourselves, neither do you allow those who are entering in to enter. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you travel around by sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he becomes one, you make him twice as much a son of Gehenna as yourselves." End quote. Exactly what did Yeshua say there? He said that the Pharisees are Gehenna guys. Would God use guys who are going to Gehenna, the lake of fire reserved for the wicked, would he use those guys to set his holy days? Should those who are most wicked set the most holy? Verse 16, Christ said, "Woe to you, you blind guides, who say, whoever swears by the temple, it's nothing, but whoever swears by the gold of the temple, he's obligated. You blind fools! For which is greater, the gold or the temple that sanctifies the gold? Whoever swears by the altar, it's nothing, but whoever swears by the gift that's on it, he is obligated. You blind fools! For which is greater, the gift or the altar that sanctifies the gift? He therefore who swears by the altar swears by it, and by everything on it. He who swears by the temple swears by it, and by him who is living in it. He who swears by heaven swears by the throne of God, and by him who sits on it. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you tithe mint, dill, and cumin, and have left undone the weightier matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faith. But you ought to have done these, and not to have left the other undone. You blind guides, who strain out a gnat and swallow a camel." End quote. Now it's ironic, isn't it, that many messianics look at Jewish rabbis as having great wisdom, the wisdom of sages. Did they not read Christ's words? You blind fools, you blind fools, you blind guides! Now, taking Christ at his word that the Pharisees are blind, should those who are spiritually blind be given the authority to set the most spiritual times? Would not they also be spiritually blind in how they set their feasts? Verse 25, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but within they are full of extortion and unrighteousness. You blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and of the platter, that its outside may become clean also. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you're like whitened tombs, which outwardly appear beautiful, but inwardly are full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so, you also outwardly appear righteous to men, but inwardly you are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. End quote. The Pharisees appeared righteous. That is, people thought the Pharisee rabbis were inspired by God, just as people think their calendar is inspired by God. The Pharisees appear righteous. Verse 29, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you build the tombs of the prophets and decorate the tombs of the righteous, and say, if we had lived in the days of our fathers, we wouldn't have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Therefore you testify to yourselves that you are children of those who killed the prophets. Fill up then the measure of your fathers, you serpents, you offspring of vipers. How will you escape the judgment of Gehenna? End quote. Christ, the judge of all mankind, restates the judgment of the Pharisees, Gehenna. Their religion is the antithesis of what God wants. Verse 34, therefore, behold, I send to you prophets, wise men, and scribes. Some of them you will kill and crucify, and some of them you will scourge in your synagogues and persecute from city to city, that on you may come all the righteous blood shed on the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel to the blood of Zechariah son of Berechiah, whom you killed between the sanctuary and the altar. Most certainly I tell you, all these things will come upon this generation. End quote. There are eight woes in Yeshua's diatribe against the Pharisees' Judaism. Now, if we say, woe is me, what does that mean? It means I'm in big trouble. The Greek word oi, that is translated as woe, means about the same as the English word. It means somebody's in big trouble. Chorazin and Bethsaida were in big trouble. Matthew 11, then Christ began to denounce the cities in which most of his mighty works had been done, because they didn't repent. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works had been done in Tyre and Sidon, which were done in you, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I tell you, it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon on the day of judgment than for you. End quote. So Chorazin and Bethsaida were in big trouble. Judas was also in big trouble. Mark 14, for the Son of Man goes even as it is written about him. But woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would be better for that man if he had not been born. End quote. So when Christ pronounced a woe on somebody, like Chorazin, Bethsaida, or Judas, they were in big trouble. And when Christ pronounced a woe 8 times on the Pharisees' Judaism, do you know what that means? Yeah. It means they were in big trouble. Now, does that sound like God was going to use those people 300 years later to change his feast days? Probably not. Okay, so what did Yeshua mean when he said that the Pharisees sat on Moses' seat? What was Moses' seat? We just read about the woe on Chorazin. And Chorazin had Moses' seat. Or one of them, anyway. Chorazin refers to a town not far from the Sea of Galilee. The ruins of a 3rd or 4th century synagogue are still there. Moses' seat was found in that old synagogue. Reading from the Jerusalem Post, quote, the archaeologist Spade at Chorazin has unearthed numerous houses near the synagogue and a ritual bath adjoining a sizable oval cistern. In the 1920s, excavated, found a decorated stone seat, referred to as the Seat of Moses, which served as the place where an authoritative teacher would sit in the synagogue to read the Torah. The Israel Museum in Jerusalem houses the original seat today, but a replica sits beside the synagogue's doorway in Chorazin. End quote from the Jerusalem Post. Other ruins of ancient synagogues also have Moses' seat. That's the way it was done. The rabbi who read the law of Moses sat in Moses' seat. So what did Yeshua mean when he said, the scribes and the Pharisees sat on Moses' seat? In the synagogues which the Pharisees ran, when they read the law of Moses, they sat on Moses' seat, the place where the law was read. Matthew 23:3 again, Christ said, all things therefore, whatever they tell you to observe, observe and do. But don't do their works, for they say and don't do. End quote. When the Pharisees sat on Moses' seat, they said something, but did not do what they said. They say and don't do. That is, they read the law, but did not keep the law. They read the law, and Christ said to observe and do that, but their works don't do. Their rules about the Sabbath don't do. Their rules about hand washing and washing of pots don't do. And the feast days that they set, which are different than the days that God sets, which came centuries after the Son of God walked the earth, their feast days are their works too. Don't do their works. Matthew 7, again, in vain they worship me, teaching his doctrines the commandments of men, for you set aside the commandment of God and hold tightly to the tradition of men, the washing of pitchers and cups, and you do many other such things. Full well do you reject the commandment of God, that you may keep your tradition. Verse 13, making void the word of God by your tradition, which you have handed down, you do many things like this. That's exactly what the Pharisees did with the feast days. Calculating the feast days, instead of going by God's signs, which he set in the heavens from Genesis, are only part of the many such things that the Pharisees, Judaism, do. In changing the feast days, they set aside the commandment of God from creation and substituted the traditions created by the rabbis. Excuse me, I'm not supposed to call them rabbis. Christ said that the Pharisees sat on Moses' seat. They read the law from the law reading bench in the front of the synagogues, which was called Moses' seat, where the law of Moses was read. Christ also said that the Pharisees are on the hot seat, going to Gehenna. The feasts will be observed in the kingdom of God. The Pharisees will not be in the kingdom of God. Who then will set God's feasts in God's kingdom if the Gehenna guys won't be there? Yahweh God Almighty, just as he sets them today. Matthew 23 does not say that God gave authority to the Pharisees to change his feasts. It does say that the Pharisees are sons of Gehenna. Sons of Gehenna are not given authority from God. They do not set God's feasts.